6. Caro's earliest memory had never actually happened. Everyone said so. Daddy, Mummy, Nanny. For a few years, Caro had stormed and insisted, "It did happen! It did!" Eventually, she grew old enough to better describe the memory, but by that time, she no longer wanted to share it, not even with Ellen. Ellen would not have understood. No one did, including Caro herself. Yet the memory remained bright. She lay, at 6 years old, 7, on a blanket in the back garden, watching clouds drift across the sky. Then, all at once, the clouds were no longer there, and neither was Caro. She was nowhere and everywhere, woven into what she much later thought of as the fabric of the universe. She was the clouds, the grass, the breeze, the ant crawling across her arm. Everything was her, and she was everything. Eventually, she would explain it all to herself as akin to well-documented mystical occurrences and wonder if she'd had an episode of temporal lobe epilepsy. But only one episode, without recurrence, not medically likely. Besides, the episode, occurrence, neural storm, delusion, still, decades later, seemed as real to her as the drone of a bone saw, the scarlet of fresh blood, the cottage cheese texture of an exposed brain. Usually, Caro, scientifically wary of the inexplicable, tried to ignore the memory. However, she recalled it as the Cayman Airways flight approached the island of Cayman Brac, because the memory, after all this time, seemed more real than the theatrically blue sea below her, the vividly showy green island, the pure white sand. What the hell was she doing here? But the answer to that was even less welcome than the memory. What Ellen called your online shitstorm still had not abated, kept alive by some vicious group of internet trolls whose motives she couldn't begin to comprehend. Ellen had said, "You're fresh meat, a change from politicians and actresses. Also, you're a doctor, and there's a whole class thing going on. Don't go online. Just don't look. I'll tell you when it dies down." But Caro had been no more capable of not looking than of not scratching an itchy rash. Although this felt more like flesh-eating bacteria. Did the kid next to her, his teenage scowl intent on his laptop, know about the shitstorm? Was he part of it? He'd taken one look at her, apparently decided she was too old to be of interest, and buried himself in a computer game that seemed to involve a lot of silent technicolor explosions. The flight attendant said, "We are beginning our final descent to Captain Charles Kirkconnell Airport. Please stow all electronic equipment, lock your tray tables, and return your seat to its upright position." The kid did none of these things. Caro touched him on the arm. He jumped as if assaulted and tore off an earbud. "What?" "Announcement. We're there. Put away your laptop." "Oh, thanks." He gave her a sudden smile of unexpectedly childlike sweetness. Caro turned back to the window. This was almost the worst of it, the suspicion. She couldn't encounter anyone, even a goofy kid on an airplane, without wondering if they were one of those gleefully shaming her, trying to ruin her life. It had happened to others in her position. Jobs lost, and friendships broken over a wrong joke, a digital misstep, an action distorted and sensationalized and amplified, made into something it had never been. Basically, an 18th century public hanging as entertainment, except that now the victim didn't actually die, and the spectacle could be viewed over and over. Professionally dead, but personally alive. Unless she could somehow, how, rebuild her reputation on Cayman Brac. Someone named Ben Clarby was supposed to meet her at the airport. Google had offered her 36 Ben Clarbys, and she'd no idea which this one was, or what connection he had to her great-uncle. or very much about Samuel Lewis Watkins, except for what was public knowledge. Watkins had created and patented a genetically modified bacterium that altered the way the gut biome sent signals to immune cells in the intestinal lining. Those cells then altered signals sent to developing cells in bone marrow, creating immune system cells that swiftly and effectively attacked adenoviruses. Watkins had sold both process and results to a pharmaceutical company, retaining a large percentage of royalties. The pharma developed Aquino, now the best-selling drug in the world. Aquino had saved countless people sneezes, coughs, and dripping noses, and saved industry billions of dollars in lost work time. The science won Watkins the Nobel Prize in Medicine. Curing the common cold won him a fortune. It did not, however, explain why he needed a neurosurgeon, or why his private hospital didn't search for one through normal hiring channels. But lately, a lot seemed inexplicable to Caro. She watched as the tropical island below her loomed larger and larger until the plane touched down and taxied to a stop.
Dr. Soames Watkins? Welcome to Cayman Brac. I'm Ben Clarby. This way, please.
He was younger than she by a few years, and totally unremarkable, the sort of man you'd pass three times on a street without recognizing him the fourth. A beige sort of person, tanned skin, light brown eyes, sandy hair. She followed him out of the single runway airport filled with tourists into muggy afternoon sunlight. Ben flung her suitcase into the back of a topless Jeep and opened the door for her, although from his awkwardness, Caro had the impression he didn't do this often.
"Can I ask you some questions?" she said as they started off.
"Sure. You want to know about the island?"
"No, about the hospital. How many beds? How much staff? The intake area, the..."
"Oh, Dr. Watkins has to tell you all that."
"Don't you work there?"
"Yes."
"In cybersecurity. But I can't tell you about the hospital." "Surprise, ward with alarm." "Can't or won't?"
He grinned, but there was something sour in it.
"Both. But Dr. Watkins and Dr. Weigert will tell you everything."
"Who's Dr. Weigert?"
"He, Dr. Watkins, and Julian Day founded the project. Weigert's the physicist."
"Why was there a physicist?"
"Stop the car." A little surprised that he did, Caro turned to face him. They hadn't yet left the main road, lined with beach houses, ice cream shacks, souvenir stores.
"I'm getting out, right here, Ben Clarby, unless you give me some answers, now."
All at once, he looked scared. "I can't, Doctor. I'm not allowed to. Please don't. Look, there's nothing sinister about this. The hospital is doing clinical research. Actually, it's much more a research facility than a hospital. A physicist is there because it's brain research involving quantum effects. I'm not a physicist or doctor. I'm cybersecurity. But if I don't bring you back with me, I'll be in deep trouble. And this is your uncle, right? He must be somebody you trust."
Caro studied him. Clarby was both lying and not lying. His panic at losing her was real. His total ignorance of the place's research was not. Still, how much of her suspicion came from her online ordeal, rather than anything happening in this moment? Probably most of it. It was maybe justified, but still ridiculous, to feel threatened every time somebody seemed evasive. Before the Paul Becker episode, the hearing, and the online attacks, she hadn't been so easily spooked. She said,
"I'm sorry, Mr. Clarby. I..."
"Call me Ben.
Everybody does," he said,
and the sour note was back again. "Why?"
"Please, forgive my rudeness. Let's drive on, and will you please tell me about the island?"
He did, reciting facts in a voice steady but with an undertone of resentment. Her threat to leave had frightened him.
Way to get to know your new co-workers.
Ben told her that Cayman Brac,
the middle-sized of the three Cayman Islands, was 12 miles long and a little over a mile wide. Steep bluffs, ringed with reefs and sea-level mangrove swamps, raised most of the island 141 feet above sea level. There were no rivers, but many fresh springs. Christopher Columbus had sighted the island in 1503, and Sir Francis Drake in 1586. In the 17th and 18th century, it had been a base for pirates. A local stone, Caymanite, was found nowhere else and was used to make jewelry and art. Cayman came from a Carib word for crocodile, and brack was Gaelic for bluff. Caro already knew all this information from Google. She learned more by simply looking around her. The western sea level end of Cayman Brac held the airport, beach resorts, tourist attractions, homes both shack-like and grand. As they drove into the interior, the land rose. Caro could no longer see the ocean, although she could smell the salt breeze. The road became unpaved, hard-packed dirt, mostly deserted, and lined with scrubby trees that Caro couldn't identify. Bright birds flitted through the trees. Abruptly, Ben slammed on the brakes. Caro grabbed for the dashboard to brace herself.
"Sorry," Ben said. "Iguanas have the right of way."
A huge, amazingly ugly lizard made its slow way across the road. Green, with black feet, it stopped to yawn, then dragged its scaly tail over rocks leading into the forest.
Caro said, "How big is that thing?" "Males can grow to 2 feet and 25 pounds. It's a sister island's rock iguana, found only here and on Little Cayman. Endangered and protected. Only 75 left on Brac."
"Are they dangerous?"
"Only if you're a plum or a leaf."
"And what was that bright-colored bird?"
"I didn't see it, but probably a parrot. There's a parrot preserve on the island."
He didn't elaborate, so Caro shut up and watched, although now there wasn't much to see. Palm trees, non-palm trees, stumpy pines, a coconut lying in the middle of the road. Ben ran over it. Fewer and fewer houses, until the jeep made a sudden turn, followed by another, and pulled up at a sprawling structure of high windowless walls topped with security cameras. A wooden front gate, also windowless, resembled the thick door of a medieval castle. What kind of hospital had no windows? Ben said,
"I did tell you it was more of a research facility than a hospital."
"You didn't tell me how this brain study with quantum effects is being researched."
"No," Ben said, "I didn't."
He keyed in a code on his phone and the front gate slid upwards like a portcullis.
"Welcome to the compound,"